Isso mesmo.
Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav Hamoitze Kelaim Bebigdoi Poishkon Afilu Beshuk. If somebody finds Kelaim in his beged, meaning shatnas, which is an Issa Deiraisa to wear, every moment that you wear it, you're over an Issa. So you have to immediately remove your begodim, your clothes. Afilu Beshuk, even in the middle of the street. My timer. Pasuk in Mishle, Ein Chochma, Ein Tvuna, Ein Eitza, the Neged Hashem. No shtick. If that's what the halacha prescribes, then the fact that it's embarrassing or awkward is too bad. It's very unfortunate, but you can't be a chochem against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you not to wear shatnas, and you cannot wear shatnas under all circumstances. You do not accord honor to a Rav, even if it's a Talmud Chacham, because the price to pay is a Chilul Hashem. If you're walking around with Kalaim and you're begodin, then that's a Chilul Hashem. The fact that one's own personal dignity is at stake is too bad, because, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity is at stake and his wins. So this is now going to be our discussion all the way down to the bottom of the Omud and the next. When we do and when we don't apply this rule, because as we'll soon see, there are exceptions and there are occasions that, based on preserving human dignity, we will on occasion apply some leniencies. So far, we have not seen that to be the case. So far, no room for leniency. And he will have to remove his begodim, even at the expense of his own personal dignity. Says the Gemara. Meisri. Kovroi es hameis. V'chozru. They buried the dead. And they returned. V'lefnehem beis drachim. And in front of them is two paths. So they're coming back from the Levaya. They're coming back from the Levaya, and they see in front of them two paths, either of which would bring them back to wherever they want to go. Problem is, achas tohira, v'achas tomeo. One is tohi, one is tomei, and we're talking about that one of them is a kohen. One of the people who's attending the Levaya is a Kohen. So if he's got these two paths in front of him, he obviously, lechatchila, cannot follow the impure path. What does that mean, an impure path? There's a dead body buried somewhere there. And yet, says this Braisa, Bo b'tohoiro, if he came into the Tohoir path, who's he? Says Rashi, Achas Tmeo Sheyeshbo Kever, there is a grave. Bo B'Tahira Ha'ovel. The Ovel has, for some reason, let's say he's not a Kohen, he has gone down one particular path. Now, imagine he's gone down the Tmeo path, and those following him are Kohanim, and they'll now not be able to follow him. So this Ovel, in his most difficult hour, will suddenly find himself by himself. And that's a lack of kovod habrias. This is precisely when he needs people to be with him. So the Braisa says, Bo b'tohoiro, if he came into the tohoir path, meaning the ovel, bo in imoy, then everybody follows suit, including the kohanim. Bo b'tmeo, bo in imoy b'tmeo. So whichever path this ovil followed, everybody follows. If he went on the tahir path, then indeed everybody goes in the tahir path. And if he goes in the Tumeo path, you go into the Tumeo path. Why? Says the Brice in conclusion, Mishum Kavoidai, because of Kavoid for the Ovel, meaning Kavod Habris, as we just said. It will be a lack of Kavod Habris if we just ignore him and he suddenly finds himself alone. With the obvious question being, and that's why the Gemara asks it, Amai, Lema, surely we should apply the rule and we should say, Ein Chochma, Ve'ein Tevuna L'Neged Hashem. There's no Chochma. It's true, it's going to be very awkward and very unfortunate for this Ovel to find himself alone, but it's too bad. Yes, we have to make every effort to preserve his dignity, but we cannot be over an Issa in order to achieve that. And yet the Brisa seems to be saying exactly that, that you can achieve an Issa and allowed to walk down a Tomei path. How can that be? Says the Gemara, Tirgma Rab Abba. So Rab Abba explained, we're talking about a base hapras derabbanan. This is not an out and out beis hakvaris. A real beis hakvaris is metamei min ha-Torah, and once the Kohenim are being over in Issa Torah, then ein chochma. So we'll soon define a beis hapras in a moment. But the Gemara over here is teaching us a very important rule, and that is that when we said before that ein chochma, that's only if there's an Issa do'iraisa at stake, like the initial example of wearing kilayim. But if we're dealing with an Issa d'rabbonon, so even though, of course, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to be over an Issa d'rabbonon, but Chazal waived their Issa d'rabbonon in place of human dignity. And therefore, again, we'll define this in a moment, a beis hapras, for reasons we'll discuss, is only a mokoim, which is metame midrabanan, but it's not real tomei. So it's true, there is an issa d'oraisa for a kohen to become tomei. That issa d'oraisa only applies where there is tuma d'oraisa. If there's only tomei d'rabanan, then at worst you're dealing with an issa d'rabanan. And this is our first exception. Isurei d'rabbonon are waived for the sake of preserving human dignity. So if this particular Ovel is going to find himself alone, then we will waive the Issa d'rabbonon in order to preserve his Kavod Habris. That's the chiddush that we're now learning. Now the question is, what exactly is a beis hapras? One second, just give me 2 seconds. Pras, let's have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Bebeis hapras deloy metame elo midrabon." So it's not a real full-out beis hakvaris. It's only metame midrabon. Why? Why is that the case? What's happened? Vehu sode, it is a field, shenechrash boy kever, in which there was a kever there, no question about it, but it's being plowed up. So there was a kever there, and the field has been plowed up. Now, essentially, min ha-Torah, we're allowed to assume that once the field has been plowed up, then the kever has gone, broken into pieces, either disappeared completely or not enough to be metame. So therefore, we're no longer dealing with tuma min ha-Torah. So what is the issue, says Rashi? V'choshu chachomim. Chachomim were concerned, Shema dildalu klei hamachresha. What's klei hamachresha? The vessel of plowing. Maybe the plowing equipment were medaldel. They moved around esharat somois, the bones, such that, and dropped them, and maybe there is something that remains. It means essentially this field has been plowed up. So if it's been plowed up, any previous keva is assumed min ha-Torah to not be there anymore. So min ha-Torah, you can assume that the Kohen is allowed to walk there, he will not become Tommy. But Chazal were concerned, maybe, the plowing equipment, while digging up the keva, something dropped. They dropped one of the bones. And it turns out, therefore, that there is a chashash, albeit far-fetched, but Chazal were concerned about this. There is a chashash that there is maybe a bone there after all. V'hadoyres oleho, and anybody who steps on it, meisiton. Meisiton means will move it. Now, as we well know, a kohen, and anybody for that matter, there are various ways of becoming tummy. So let's talk about classic tumah. There is a dead body. If you touch the dead body, you become tummy. Without getting involved in which particular tumah you become, whether it's an av or a rishon or a sheni, that's not our discussion, but you become tummy. So clearly, in order for tumah to be transmitted, I have to come into some sort of contact with the tumah. There is, of course, one exception, and we call that tumas oihel. As Kohenim well know, or Moshe Zelig, you will know, if you enter the same building, or certainly the same room, in which there is a dead body, even if it's an enormous room, and you are nowhere near the dead body, in fact, you can't even see it, it's the other end of the room, by virtue of the fact that you are in the same oihel, you will become Tommy. Anybody will become Tommy. So too, by the way, if you form an oihel over the dead body. If you are ma'ahil, meaning the dead body might well not be in a room, it could be in an open field. But if you walk on top of it, you are ma'ahil. You form a structure over the dead body, one becomes Tommy. So there is another form of contact, mago, which is obviously the classic contact. Mago means you literally touch, or maso, you lift without touching it, or heset, you move it. You move it. And that's what we are concerned about over here. When you walk in the field, there is, as far as the Torah is concerned, no real chashash, not enough to really raise concern that there is a cave over here. It's all been plowed up. But we're worried that the klei hamachresha, the plowing instrument, maybe dropped some bones. So there may be, maybe some bones over here. And when you walk in the field, if they are close to the surface, you will be moving those bones. And that's what Rashi says, v'hadoyres oleho, and anybody who steps on it, meaning on this bone, masiton, will move it. The etzem, and the bone.
Is he stepping on the bone itself, or is touching dirt that's touching the bone?
Right, either.
So then what's the difference, if, why isn't that just called maga instead of the moving?
But like you said, even if the bone is not at floor surface, it's underneath. But you're moving the earth, which is moving the bone, even though you didn't come into direct contact with the bone, but at the end of the day, you moved it. But you didn't actually touch the bone, you touched the earth above it. Now, the etzem kesa'ira, a bone, even a very small-sized kesa'ira, what's a sa'ira? Like a piece of barley, so to my very, very small bone, is enough. Metame, b'maga, u'b'maso. with any type of contact, whether it's lifting or touching or hesed, as we just mentioned, v'loy ba'oil, albeit it will not be metamei ba'oil. So if you enter a building and there is a bone which is only the size of a sa'ira, it will not be metamei, it has to be larger. But at least with regard to more direct contact, like maga or masa or hesed, then even the smallest size, the size of a piece of barley, which is extremely small, it will be enough to be metamei. But let's not forget that at the end of the day, this is only a chashash, because essentially this field has been plowed up, and if it's been plowed up, then you can safely assume that the plowing equipment did a good job and all the bones were removed, say Chazal, but we're concerned that maybe, just maybe, a good job was not done and maybe a bone was left. And when you walk there, you'll be moving the bone, even if it's a very small bone, that will make you tummy. Says Rashi in conclusion, the kiver and the midrabbanon who the osar, but since at the end of the day it is only a tumah midrabbanon, and therefore for the kohen only an issur derabbanon, rabbanon who the achluha, rabbanon were as it were moichel liyakraihu for their kavod gabe ovel, in favor of the ovel's kavod. So Chazal, as it were, said, don't worry about us. Ignore our issa. Why? Because the kavod abrius of the ovel is over here at stake. So again, we're talking about the coming back from the levaya. For some reason, the ovel took the tomei path. The kohanim may follow. At worst, they are being over an issa derabbanon. It's not an issa deiraisa. And because kavod abrius is at stake, so therefore we do not say ein chochma ve'ein tvuna. Now the Gemara gives some examples of how we apply the beis hapras rule. Beis hapras, as Rashi just explained to us in great detail, is a field in which there is only a tumah midrabbanon for reasons we explained. So again, Tirgum Rav Abba translated this braisa to be talking about the beis hapras, which is the rabbanon. A beis hapras is, as we said, not metamei min ha-Torah. It's only metamei midrabbanon, and therefore Rav Abba explained to us that's what that particular braisa was talking about. I'll now prove to you, says the Gemara, that a beis hapras is only tamei midrabbanon. D'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Now this is talking about Korban Pesach. Somebody who's on his way to be makriv a Korban Pesach obviously cannot become tamei, because then he will not be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says in the name of Shmuel, Menapeach Adam Beis HaPras. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate this? He can blow his way through a Beis HaPras V'hoylich and continue walking. Is that how they translated it?
Yeah. That may blow on the ground of the Beis HaPras as he walks through it.
Now, how will that solve the problem of the Beis HaPras? Where are these bones possibly situated? I mean, if he blows his way through, how will that solve the problem?
No, it's not that's going to solve the problem. I think that this is a heter which he would have in the Beis HaPras. And why? This proves that the Beis HaPras is not deraisa.
No, you're quite right.
Because he's allowed to blow on him.
What does the blowing do? What does the blowing do for me?
I would say it would blow the dust off the bone, and then you could see the bones.
Oh, that seems to be the way that Rashi learns. Rashi says, Menapeach Adam Lefonov, She'im Hayasham Etzem Yir Enu. So clearly, and Rav Nachum, this relates to your question, clearly the bone is not deep down in the ground. Heset is a form of magon. Heset is a form of magon. You'll notice Rashi, the last Rashi says, you are masiton, and that's called maga umaso. That is a form of magon. So clearly we are talking about where the bone is on quite ground surface. Just we're worried that what? It might be covered with a layer of dust or earth. So if you blow and you don't see it, then that's good enough for us. Now, clearly, if we were dealing with tumah d'oraisa, then that would not be a satisfactory way of ascertaining whether there's a bone there. You'd really have to bring proper equipment to search out the bones. But because we're only dealing with a beis hapras, this is what Shmuel is telling us. So therefore, this backs up the notion that we said before, that a beis hapras has different rules. And the reason why it has different rules is because it's only tomei midrabbanan, says Rashi. Menapeach adam lefanov. Why? What will that achieve for him? Sheim hoya sham etzem. So that if there would be a bone there, yirenu, he will see it. And that clearly proves that we're dealing with the rabbanan. Why? Di'idai raisehu. Because were it to be an issue of a doiraisa, loy havinon mezalzelin bay kulahai lemismach anaficha. We're not going to allow him to go through this strange process of, can you imagine him crawling on hands and feet, blowing his way through the field? We would never allow that whole performance for a doiraisa. Why? Because that's not a very professional, not a very efficient way of detecting whether there's a bone there. So why are we allowing this rather amateur detective work? The answer is because it's only midrabbanan. Says Rashi, v'hach bedika le'oise pesach ishtri. And this particular bedika, this particular checking, examination of the bone situation was said in order to allow him to be makriv korban pesach, but v'loy le'oichle teruma, not so for those who are eating truma. A kohen wants to eat truma, obviously needs to make sure that he's tohir. So I would have thought that the same should apply. If for some reason he needs to navigate his way through this field, so let him do this rather amateur detective work, and that will be good enough. So Rashi says, no, for some reason, when it comes to Truma, we are all of a sudden more machmir. How do I know that? K'da'omrinon b'chomer b'kodesh. As is stated in the perek called Chomer b'kodesh, which is the third perek in Chagiga, and it discusses there at great length different chumrais of Truma. And therefore, this is one of them. So even though with regard to Korban Pesach, we will be makel, but we are more machmir in Truma than we are with regard to Korban Pesach. And therefore, even though we're only discussing a Beis HaPras, which is only Drabonon, we will still be machmir with regard to Truma. Okay, that's not our subject so much. What is our subject? But at least with regard to Pesach, we are lenient. For the reason that we stated, because a beis hapras is only a derabbanan. And in fact, there's one more statement that the Gemara brings with regard to beis hapras. The Omer Rav Yehuda ba'ashi mishmei derav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, beis hapras shenidash tohoir. Shenidash, Rashi says, shenidash baraglayim. So I think, Rav Nachum, this proves your point, not what I said before. A beis hapras that has been walked all over with your feet, one can now assume that there are no bones left. If there would be anything there, it would be buried well and proper underneath the ground, and there's no need for concern because everybody's walked through the field. Now again, this proves the point that the Gemara is trying to demonstrate. This is also not a very efficient way of assuring that all bones have been buried. Clearly, it is once again a leniency based on the fact that we are dealing with a besa pras, which at worst is tomei only midrabbanan. So let's sum up so far. We have altogether two different stories. Story number one is somebody who found kilayim in his beged, and we are machmir. Why? Ein chochma. Ve'ein eitza, ve'ein tvuna. Even though kavod abrius is at stake, it's too bad. You cannot be over an issa d'oraisa, even if human dignity is at stake. Story number two, in the case of the Levi, when the Ovel went down the Tomei path, the Kohanim may follow him, because we happen to be discussing a Tuma d'Rabbonon, Besa Pras. And if it's Tomei mid'Rabbonon, then we do not apply the rule of Ein Chochma. So therefore, this is our number one rule, with the exception. Essentially, Ein Chochma, but if Kavod HaBrios is at stake, you are allowed to waive Isurei d'Rabbonon, for example, Tuma d'Rabbonon for Kohen. Now, we're going to learn another Gemara, and we're going to get rather stuck now into the intricacies of Tuma v'Tahara. I don't know if you saw the Tosfos over here. We will, Be'ez Hashem, learn at least the top Tosfos, if not the second. Says the Gemara, Toshama. Now we're going to bring a third case. Da'omar Reb Elazar ben Tzadok. Medalgin hayinu. We used to skip over al gabe aroinos shel mesim, over coffins of dead people, likras malchei Yisrael. So what's the case over here? Rev Elazar is telling us that they used to see a king, a melech, Melech of Yisrael. So obviously there's a mitzvah to mechabed the Melech. Problem is, in order to reach him, and Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, as Rashi points out for us in a moment, was a Kohen. In order to reach him, you had to somehow negotiate a whole bunch of aroinos, coffins of a mace. And if you jump over a orin of a mace, as we said before, even though you are not coming into physical contact with the tumma, but you are being ma'il, you are forming an oil over the mace. And if that's the case, you would become tummy. So this now obviously presents for us a huge difficulty. What right did he have to skip over the orein ha'mace for the sake of greeting the Melech of Yisrael? It's true, Kavod HaBrios is at stake, specifically Kavod for the Melech. Imagine if everybody says, I'm sorry, nobody's coming out to greet you. That'll be a terrible insult for the king. And for that purpose, we are being makel for Reb Elazar, who was a Kohen, to skip over the Arei. How can that be? Surely I should say, Ein Eitza, Ve'ein Tvuna, Ve'ein Chochma, Neged Hashem. So let's just continue the story because we didn't finish. Says the Gemara, Medalgin Ayinu al Gabe Aroinos. We used to skip over the Aroinos of Malchei Yisrael. And not only that, Veloi Likras Malchei Yisrael Bevad Omru. And not only did they say that there is a permit to do this, to go and greet Jewish kings, Elo afilu likras malchei akum, even to go and greet non-Jewish kings. That's a tremendous chiddush. Why should I be prepared to be over an issa just to go and greet a non-Jewish king? So he explains, she'im yizkeh yavchin bein malchei Yisrael lemalchei akum. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate this? She'im Yizke means Yizke to go and greet Mashiach, if I'm saying correctly.
Yeah. Licras malfe Yisrael b'vad amru.
Yes.
Elo afilu licras malfe umas holam she'im yiske. So that if he merits to be at the time of the Mashiach alive, he will be able to discern the difference between the honor according to Malchei Yisrael and the Malchei Umos.
So what does that mean? By going now to greet the non-Jewish king, when will he be able to discern? When Mashiach comes, and how do you understand this? Who will be able to discern? The non-Jewish king?
So that if he merits, so the person who's doing this, he merits to witness the Mashiach, then he will be able to discern the greater honor which will be bestowed on the kings of Israel and the lesser honor on the that's bestowed on the Gentile kings now. So, he'll be able to discern the fact that at the time of the Mashiach, Malchei Yisrael would get far greater covered than the...
Right, so at the moment, he went to greet all types of kings in order that the contrast should be clear that when Mashiach comes, you'll see the difference. Okay, but either way, asks the Gemara, how can that be? Amai, how is that permissible? Lema, why don't I say, Ein Chochma, Ein Tvuna, Ein Eitza, Neged Hashem? Says Rashi, Lekras Malchei Yisrael, Hare. So it turns out, Lekovod Habrias, for the sake of Kovod Habrias, Oivrim, they were transgressing Al on the following pasuk, quote unquote, Nefesh Loi Yitamei. That a Kohen may not become Tomei at all, the horrible laws of Aktsoda, Kohen Oyo, as is stated in Masechtas Bechayros, Medalgin Me'aroin La'aroin, from coffin to coffin, they were skipping over all the Aroinos in order to go and meet the king. So again, I understand the necessity. We're not querying that. Clearly, it's true, there is indeed an issue of Kavod Habrias. I understand that. But how does that allow you to be over an Issa? Surely I should say, Ein Eitza Ve'ein Tvuna. And obviously the answer that we gave before will not help over here. Before we discussed a field. So in a field, you can say it wasn't really Tomei, the bones have been plowed up. It's only a chashash, it's a beis hapras. But here we're talking about, it says quite clearly, there was a dead body in the arim. Says the Gemara, Kedarova. So in order to explain this, we're going to have to use the rule that was taught to us by Rava. What did Rava teach us? The Omar Rava. Rava taught us the following. Devar Toiro. Mina Toiro. Oihel. Kol sheyesh boy chalal tefach. Choytseitz bifnei hatuma. Vesheein boy chalal tefach. Einoi choytseitz bifnei hatuma. So let's explain. By skipping over the oroin, let's not forget, you are not actually forming an oihel directly over the dead body. Why not? Because the dead body is in an oroin. So the lid of the coffin is acting as a chaitzeitz, as a barrier between the dead body and the person who is skipping over the oroin. So now we need to know Hilchas Oholos. When does the lid serve as a barrier and it will not allow the tumor to be transmitted via the lid? And the answer is, it all depends on one thing. How close is that lid to the dead body? If it is a very low-sized oroin, such that there is less than a tefach between the dead body and the lid, basically the lid is almost touching the dead body, then it will not act as a barrier. And the tumah will, as it were, seep through the lid all the way up to Shomayim. If there is a gap of a tefach, then that, as it were, contains the tumah and does not allow the tumah to escape. Well, if that's what we're dealing with, then obviously we've answered our question. Because if he skipped over an oroin, in which he happened to know that the dead bodies were all a gap of a tefach away from the lid, then he doesn't become tomei at all. Now we'll see tomorrow, there is a little bit of an exception to that. It's a derabonon, but again, derabonons are waived for kavod abrius. So we're going to continue in the Gemara. The top tesis do not spend too much time on it. It's rather complicated. We will see it Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. But I would advise keep going in the Gemara towards the bottom of the Yomot.
Shukra.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting.